We are going to make a prompt start, so we get most of our time possible with Ben. Ben, huge welcome to Winscombe Church this morning. Thank you so much for coming. I'm going to pray for Ben and really hand over to him, because I want to give as much time to him as possible, so that we can hear about the work that God's calling him to, and we can be prayerful over that. And we'll allow time for questions at the end as well. So let's pray, and then I'll hand over to Ben. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you came to your disciples and you said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you to the very end of the age." Thank you for that command and that promise. And Lord, as we hear this morning about your work in Sweden, we pray that you'd warm our hearts, you would inform our minds. Thank you for Ben, Emily, and all that you've laid on their hearts to do. And as Ben shares this morning, would you encourage him, would you bless him, as Lord, would you encourage and bless us, that we might see your world the way you see it. We pray these things in Jesus' powerful name. Amen. Ben, welcome, and over to you. Thanks very much. Thanks for coming today.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it.
Water, you can swim everywhere. Is that not working? Right, okay. Oh, was everyone with me so far? Yeah. Right, okay, great. I'll take this off. So it's one of the things I really love about it, and it's very modern and progressive as well. So it's very liberal. It's been a socialist country for a very, very long time. And much of the things that we feel are happening in this country happened in Sweden 20 years ago. I'll go into a little bit more about that in a little while. But as you can see, Gothenburg is a very, very beautiful place. So if you're going to go be a missionary, might as well pick Gothenburg, right? Okay, well, that may be true. But let me go on just to explain a little bit more. Oh. Actually, this is the wrong bit. I've got the wrong presentation up here. Sorry, everybody. Just like me to do something like that. File open. That's the one. And then I'll get us on the right slide. Here we are. Okay, so some more facts about Sweden for you. It's a population of about 10 million people. The official Swedish government website describes Sweden as a post-Christian secular nation. That's how they define themselves now. So not a religious country in any way whatsoever. But 80% of Swedes would say they're atheist or non-religious, probably leaning towards atheist. And this is the thing. Sweden has the fastest church decline in the world at the moment. More people lose their faith in Sweden per year than any other country on the planet. The evangelical church is shrinking at a faster rate in Sweden than anywhere else. There's a website that missionaries use called the Joshua Project, and you can go on there, you can look at statistics of the evangelical church across the world. And when Emily and I started thinking about ministry in Sweden, there were only two countries that were going backwards in their church growth. So there were places that the gospel still needed to go where there wasn't any churches at all. There were plenty of places where there were lots of churches, but there were only two countries where church decline was so bad that the church was getting smaller and smaller and smaller. The first one was Japan, and the second one was Sweden. And now there are other countries in Western Europe that are going in that direction, but Sweden by far is going at the fastest rate. What does that mean practically? Well, it means across the whole of Sweden, there are 3,000 less people in church every year. In Gothenburg, the city we're going to, there are around 170 less Christians every year. Now, that's because some people go home to be with the Lord, obviously. But also, it's because young people are leaving the church by droves. They just don't stay, and they leave. 170, that's like, when you consider the average church in Sweden is around 15 to 30 people. That's a lot of churches that are disappearing. And that's evangelical churches that we're talking about in that context. So when you ask the question, why plant churches in Sweden, the obvious answer is, well, because the church is really, really struggling there. But when you bear in mind the history of Sweden, it just gets a bit more shocking. So, for example, back in the 18th century, right up to the 1970s, Sweden was sending out more missionaries per capita than anywhere else in the world. The evangelical church in Sweden was strong, it was rich, it was passionate about the gospel, and it was sending missionaries out. And since the 1970s, there was a very sharp change in the impact that the Swedish church was having on the world. And there are plenty of reasons for that. But I think the ones that come to mind most frequently as I go and I talk to Swedish pastors in Sweden, well, one is the rise of secularism as people have become more secularized and individual in their thinking. Another one is that as personal wealth has increased massively, Sweden is a very wealthy country, as people have become more comfortable. But also, at the same time, is the church losing confidence in the Bible. And it's the same message. You talk to pastor after pastor of pastor in Sweden. They say, well, there aren't any good Bible schools in Sweden anymore. And Swedish Christians just aren't really taught to trust the Bible. There's a great lack of confidence. And this is partly because as the country became more and more secular, a long time ago, Bible colleges were part funded by the government, and then in the 90s there was a choice made which basically said that unless you agreed to the Swedish government's policies on liberal social reform, which include things on gender and LGBT rights and all these kind of things and gay marriage, then you would no longer be funded. So literally colleges and missions had a choice of staying open and becoming liberal or closing. Lots closed, many stayed open. But you can imagine that had a massive effect on what people were being taught in Sweden. And it's heartbreaking to see that's a reality. So just to explain a bit more about why Emily and myself. Well, we've been married 15 years, I said that already, but we've travelled backwards and forwards. So earlier on I gave you a number of 3,170. I think it's fair to say that for Emily and myself, that number has faces to it. It's not just a statistic. When I first went to Sweden, it was probably 18 years ago, before we got married, I was really blown away by how many young Christian friends that Emily had. She went to a Christian school. They still have them there. She went to a Christian secondary school. I remember we went to fika at somebody's house. You know what fika is? Fika is this wonderful Swedish thing where you go to someone's house and you have fika, which is basically coffee and a cake or a sandwich or something like that. And everybody does it all the time. And you always sit around the table to drink it. You don't just sit with a mug of coffee in on the sofa. You sit around the table and you have fika and you talk and it's really nice. So we went to somebody's house and we had fika, and there were around 30 people gathered around this table, all young Christians who all seemed really passionate for Jesus, and they were really vocal about their passion for Jesus as well. And I remember being blown away by that. But then gradually as we got married and we went back to Sweden again and again and again, every single time we went back, one or two of our friends who loved Jesus had stopped going to church, or they'd married a non-Christian partner, or they just very rarely attended church, or they just it's not that they stopped believing per se, they would say, but it just the way in which they lived their lives was no different to anybody else. They didn't read the Bible, they didn't pray, but yeah, maybe we still believe in God on some level, but it's not so important anymore. And we saw the passion just sucked out of a generation of young people. And so this hurt. These are still our friends. These are people that we love who have now left the church. And this is just a small picture of what's been going on across the country. So We saw it personally. So I think from a very long time ago, we felt that we wanted eventually to be in Sweden serving in some way. We had no idea what that would be. At the time, I was working for London City Mission as a missionary, and so was Emily, both working for London City Mission. And we felt this desire growing. And part of our journey, we started to partner with Acts 29 churches. Acts 29 is an organization that basically is just a network of churches that are all passionate about planting churches across the world. So we were assessed by them for our suitability for church planting. And by some miracle, they said, yeah, okay, you might be all right at that. So we've been assessed by X29, and we're heading off. Another part of our journey was really important. It was the belief that we're not the saviors of Sweden, Jesus is, and that the importance of the local church. I think often when missionaries just go to places and it can seem like they feel like that they have the answer. And I don't feel like I have the answer for Sweden, except to say that it's Jesus. So we felt it was really important to find a church that we could partner with that held the same theological position that we did on many, many things. And it's fair to say that to be a conservative evangelical in Sweden is very unpopular. So very few churches would hold to the same doctrinal confessions that we hold to. And certainly to the things that you'd have to agree to be part of the FIAC, in Sweden, which I am in a church as part of the FIAC, is akin to becoming a radical extremist. I mean, that's how they view us. And so finding a church that we could partner with was really, really hard. And I'm really pleased to say that we were traveling around Sweden in 2015 doing some exploratory research. And we met a pastor of a church called Alia Shirkan in Gothenburg. It's a very small church, got about 50 members, that are about 3 years old. Johnny was the lead pastor of the largest evangelical church in Gothenburg, and then was basically forced out of his job because he believed the same things that you and I do as Christians. And he planted a church alongside some other like-minded believers, there is a church there which holds to biblical truth, preaches expositionally, and they have really sound, well thought through theology, and it's just wonderful. We met them and immediately we connected, so we're going to be partnering with them, and I'm really excited to say that. And that last bit was just me. I just finished some theological training called Crosslands. I passed all the way through that, which is great. So I know a bit more than I did 3 years ago, which is great to say. But just to say what we're planning on doing in the next few years is we're going to go and serve in Ali Shirkan for the first year. I can speak some Swedish, but I'm not fluent. Obviously, my wife is. So for the first year, as we settle in and I learn the language, our plan is to partner with Alice Shirkan, and we will serve the elders as best we can in that context. So one of the things we're going to help them with is thinking through their evangelistic program, because they don't really have one. And that's what I've been specializing in for the past number of years. So we're really looking forward to doing that. And reading the Bible with as many people as possible. Swedes, primarily, non-Christian and Christian. Because I believe that the Bible is the best tool we have in sharing our faith. Just to ask people to read it one-to-one is a powerful tool. So our heart would be to read the Bible with as many people as possible. And the second year, we plan to gather people from Alia Shirkan, from around Sweden, and even from within the UK who would want to come and support the work of church planting, so that in year three that we can plant a church, which would be a plant of Alia Shirkan, which we would lead with other elders. Just to give you a bit of a glimpse of what Alia Shirkan looks like at the moment. Here, this is, recognize this person? Do you reckon you might recognize that face? If it starts up. But, yeah, here we are. It's a very small place. This is a Sunday when the congregation is brimming, because we had lots of visitors from other countries, because we had this guy preaching, Vaughan Roberts. And he came along one Sunday. It was just a joy to have him there. He was there speaking at a conference that a friend of mine had organized in Gothenburg, basically a preaching conference, teaching pastors to handle the Bible. And there were about 30 pastors that came along to that. And it was really encouraging. I'd not seen anything like this in Sweden. I've been in churches over and over and over again. And just pastors are not, they have a desire to teach the Bible, but they've just never been taught how to do it. So to find people that are willing to come and hear that was just really encouraging. So we're partnering with Chesington Evangelical Church. Obviously, that's the church that I'm in now. They're funding us to about 50% of our needs. We need to raise about £65,000 in total per year. Sweden is it's quite an expensive country, and it has a tax rate of around 50%. So just to kind of put things in perspective, we won't be flying private jets or wearing snazzy suits, but it is quite expensive. We'll be partnering with Elishurken and with Acts 29. And there are ways in which you can find out more. We've got a website, missionsweden.com. You can go there, find out a lot of the things we've been talking about. But the things we really love to find is we're looking for prayer partners. Our goal was to find 170 people who would pray for us regularly. So that's one person for every person that leaves the church in Gothenburg. And we're around 140 at the moment. So if you think you could pray for us monthly, basically our prayer letter looks like this. And it has six really simple things. We know it's sometimes prayer letters can be very long and time consuming, but we just love to be quite short and sharp. We need people to support us. We're about 90% funded at the moment. But that last little bit is proving quite difficult. So Lord might lay on your heart to support us in some way, that would be absolutely fantastic. And all the information you'll find on a leaflet, which will be in your notice sheets later on. So here are a few things that you could be praying for a little bit later, but most of those things I've covered. But, oh great, 20 minutes. That's good. Now I've said quite a lot, I've babbled on a little bit, but I just wondered if any of you got any questions or things that you'd like to ask about Sweden. Have I surprised you? Has any of you been there? Any thoughts? Anything that I said that you'd like to ask questions on? Yes. I'd say it's pretty much fairly similar across the country. Yeah, in places like Gothenburg or Stockholm, you may find one or two churches that are doing quite well. But theologically, there just isn't the material. So, in that sense, there isn't anything across. There aren't any Swedish theologians at the moment. There aren't any people writing lots of great Swedish worship music. There aren't things like that. I think that there will be, it will feel a little bit different. So maybe in the more northern areas, there may be people who are still secular, but they're not quite afraid of going to church. But I think generally the health of the church is equal across the country. And there's a missionary that I know, called Morgan, who's Welsh, and he speaks Swedish with a very strong Welsh accent. And his ministry is literally to drive to all the towns and villages and to preach the gospel. And he does street preaching in Sweden, which is like the most bizarre thing in the world. But he does that, and the Lord is faithful to him. And one of the things that he says is that as he goes, he doesn't find strong churches, but he does find individuals that are kind of scattered around, who are kind of isolated on their own, who are just hungry for fellowship and for Bible teaching. So part of his ministry is sharing the gospel with Swedes, but also it's also encouraging these saints who are just scattered everywhere, who don't really have a church they can belong to that would teach them the Bible. So that would be pretty true right across the country. Yep. Yeah. Well, they say that Sweden has really high suicide rates for things like that, don't they? I don't know whether that's true or not, but yes, it is. But Sweden, it's worth bearing in mind that Sweden is a very long country. So most people live in the south of Sweden. So if you lived in the north of Sweden, you're looking at 6 months night, 6 months day. In Gothenburg, where we're going, it's probably akin to being in somewhere like Glasgow. And it's that kind of weather-wise. So yes, it does get dark pretty early, and it does get light pretty early. The Swedes get used to that. They tend to finish work earlier, get home earlier, and that sort of stuff. I honestly don't know how we're going to cope with that, but it does have an effect on people, doesn't it? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we're kind of feeling it right across the West at the moment. You kind of everywhere is politically divided in various things. So if you imagine the things that we're going through, across the political lines, per se, we feel like a very divided country, don't we? And we're very vocal about it at the moment. Where in Sweden, they've been taking in more immigrants per capita than anywhere else in the world. So anywhere, you know, Germany were in the headlines, and when they took in a million migrants, Sweden would take, for the size of their country, they were taking way more than that year on year. So that's had a massive impact on Swedish culture. The crime rate has gone up in certain areas, and ghettos have appeared where these groups are now living, and that's obviously causing political tensions. And there's lots of people who are wanting to speak up against that, but in Swedish culture, you're not supposed to stand out, you're not supposed to have a different view. It's a very challenging culture to have an opinion on various things like that. So I think at the moment, Sweden, like everywhere else, is going through a massive political and cultural change. And in God's providence, that could be a good thing. God, who knows? But one of the things is that some Christian values that Sweden has completely and utterly rejected politically are now being spoken about politically. And you can imagine the kind of things that are being said about that. But tension-wise, I mean, Swedes feel that immensely. Immensely. Yeah. So there are mosques being built all over Sweden. And there's lots of political money for that kind of thing. That's very PC to build lots of mosques in Sweden at the moment. And there are some that you look at the statistics about where the country could be headed, you can get really, really worried until you remember that God's in control. So he knows what he's doing. We've just got to trust him. And in fact, as well, you know, it's worth us realizing that Sweden is things like Islam, even radical Islam, is not any worse to the gospel than radical secularism. You know, we're called to share the gospel in whatever context, in whatever circumstances. And the Lord's in control. So.
And you're aiming to go out next year.
Yes.
At what point next year, and how will that affect the children?
Ah, great, good question. So the academic system works slightly different. So they work per year, so it's January to December. So they'd be starting at the beginning of a school year there. So in some ways they're fitting quite well. But if you could pray for them within that, because the Swedish schooling system is very, very, very liberal and very anti-Christian. And you can't homeschool, so that's not an option. You have to send your children to school there. So finding a school that we feel comfortable sending our children to is not going to be easy. So if you could pray that would be the case, that would be really, really helpful. That's the thing. That's probably the thing I personally worry about the most. You know, I'm kind of going into this kind of hostile secular culture where to believe the things I believe is horrible in many people's eyes. And I'm prepared for that. But then I'm preparing my children as best I can. But actually, the fear is that you're letting go and you're handing them over to people that are going to be teaching them things that you just know are anti-Christian. So if you could pray that we would continue to trust God. And I genuinely think, I believe, that the best place for our children is not a safe school. It's not even a big church. The best place for our children is wherever the Lord wants us to be. But it's still emotionally difficult. So if you could pray for that, that would be really great. Thanks.
Yeah.
If you don't talk about your faith, if you are very closed about it, then you can get a job. But if you want to have any freedom at all, at the last conference we were at, Vaughan Roberts was speaking, and he was talking about some Swedes that he was talking to, and there were a number of people, Christians, that said, look, if we openly said on Facebook or anywhere what we believe as Christians, we would lose our jobs. And you sense that a little bit here in this country, don't you? Put it 15 years ahead, in a much more liberal country, that's where Sweden is right now. And Swedish culture is, you don't say things that rock the boat. You don't say things that are, you certainly don't say things publicly that are against the general way of thinking. And yeah, Christians do feel that. So yes, there are Christians in some of those areas, but they wouldn't openly profess that or confess to that. So I think that's basically the basic rule. If you can have any job you want, as long as you don't actually believe it or try to live it out. Yeah.
You may already have said this a moment.
It's fine.
Yeah. Do you know exactly where you're aiming to
plant? We know Gothenburg, but we haven't decided on a community within Gothenburg yet. So Aliakyrkan is a central. It's a city central church. Emily and I are really more experienced in thinking about local within a community. So we want to be in a community somewhere in Gothenburg. But we've held off deciding that. We have some ideas, but we've held off making a decision about that because of that thing about wanting to become under the authority of elders. So we want to make that decision in conversation and in the authority of the local church. So we don't really know. And that's the reason for it. So in the second year, that's the sort of thing we need to nail down. Yeah.
Ben, thank you so much. We're going to stop there. Ben is around all morning. We're going to be praying for Ben, particularly in our morning service this morning, and hearing a bit more from him with the children. Ben, thanks for coming. That's just been incredibly helpful. And, on the one hand, heartwarming, but also gives a real burden as well for what's going on there. So thank you so much. It's coffee time. As I say, we'll hear a bit more from Ben. But do come and grab him over coffee and ask any questions that you didn't get to ask just then.